It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, and around the world on the powerful iHeartRadio Network. Oh, suspense. What should I do? I want to share my guest. But first, you know, the opener, it's radio. What could I do? Forgive me here, but it's an incredible guest. First and foremost, we have to talk about our Nielsen ratings. Being in the top 10 in New York AM radio is a big deal. Coming in number 3 is tremendous. It's a special testament to our great guests that we have and you, every single listener of this show. Thank you. You've come to expect great business content over the past 8 years of being here on the radio in New York, and it's a very, very special treat and an honor to serve you by providing great business content week in and week out. And we feature such a great lineup of guests. I mean, my gosh, we had the CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Stephen Stadoff. We had the former vice chair at GE and CMO, Beth Comstock. We recently had the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart, and so many other great guests. And tonight's guest, it's radio. Just a little bit more suspense, forgive me here. I got to be a mensch and thank my team. My guest would have he would really give me pitch if I didn't thank my team. It's my team here at BLMG. A special shout out and a thank you to Michal, Cerulli, DJ, Nachi, and so many others that make the show so successful. A special thank you to at 710 WR, Darren, Peter, Robert, thank you. Thank you, Zev. Zeb Brenner for the shout-out before he precedes me here on 710. And to the various different channels that we are syndicated on. Nucky Radio, The Articles in the Jewish Home, Business Class Clips, and so many others. But without further ado, going to tonight's incredible guest, Chuck Garcia. Chuck is the CEO of Climb Leadership International. I'm going to give you a bit of his bio. If you're not impressed, I don't know what planet you're on. He's climbed, by the way, to the highest points in this planet, but okay. Chuck is the founder of Climb Leadership International. He coaches executives worldwide on public speaking, emotional intelligence, and executive presence. His Amazon best-selling book, A Climb to the Top, is soon to be followed with a new release, which we're going to talk about in tonight's show. He's in the faculty of Columbia University, and he spent 25 years in leadership positions at Bloomberg, BlackRock, and Citadel Investment Management. Tonight's show is all about emotional intelligence and how it impacts your future, especially in leadership positions, integrating emotional skills into the complexity of everyday life, and turning chaos into learning lessons. Without further ado, Chuck Garcia, welcome to Mind Your Business.
Yitzhak, thank you for the wonderful and beautiful introduction, and I so appreciate as you were beginning your narration, to thank the team. So I want to do the same. I know it takes a village to produce a radio show. Same to me. Thank you, Yitzhak, and your team for the opportunity to be here with you today. I am so honored.
Very special. Well, also a special shout out to the one who connected us.
Oh,
John McLaughlin.
Indeed.
John.
Yeah, John, if you hear us, thank you. And I sent him an email a couple of days to let him know I'm on. John, thank you. I so appreciate that introduction.
A shout out. What a great friend of both of us and so many. Chuck, let's just go down memory lane. You were on Wall Street. You answered to Mike Bloomberg.
Indeed.
I mean, you had senior leadership positions, and you've channeled that, taken that incredible amount of experience, and now are coaching leaders worldwide. Talk about the journey a bit.
Yeah. Well, first, as I was ascending in my career, I'd like to think that you can think a few steps ahead. What am I going to do with this? Where is it going to take me? And the answer is you don't know. You're so caught up in doing what it is you're paid to do. But also when you leave the office, there's a wife and children and all the other considerations. So as I was climbing my career and so grateful to be in the gravity of Mike Bloomberg, I don't know, say it's by accident, But after my many years of leading sales for our Latin American team at Bloomberg, we were selling what are known as Bloomberg terminals south of the border, opening up business in all these countries. I started to, every single Monday, there was a meeting at Bloomberg to bring together the management team and to speak to the entire sales force. So every manager of their division, I was one of them. All of us had an opportunity on a lot of different Monday morning meetings called the MMM to be able to give an update. What's going on in our business? What are we seeing? What can we talk about and share with our colleagues that they may benefit from our struggles, our challenges, and our victories? And every Monday, somebody got up there and they talked about what they did. And as I was watching them, I said, they're not real excited about it. They're hitting all the right things. But what I was seeing as I was closing my mouth and opening my ears, I said, when I get up to speak in front of the team, that's a substandard. They're not making me feel anything. I'm not learning from them. That's not a style I want to emulate. So I got up on Monday mornings with great enthusiasm, and I was very happy to tell them, not just the things that I was doing great. Instead, I led with the vulnerability of, I had a situation. This is what happened. I didn't handle it well. It was my greatest lesson. Little did I know, people were noticing that. I didn't know they were noticing that, but, and it wasn't as if I was trying to do something, hey, I'm going to do better than you. I just felt I owed the audience my best, not a substandard, hey, here's what we're doing, and this is what's happening. So that led Yitzhak ultimately to taking a full-time job where I was stepping on stage all over the world in the service of the Bloomberg organization. By traveling the world and stepping on stages, and I was an untrained speaker. There were no TED Talks at the time. I read the Dale Carnegie book, which I loved, on public speaking and how to win friends and influence people. Mm-hmm. I was self-taught. So the journey, ultimately, while I didn't know at the time, it was giving birth to what I decided to do. And 9 years or 10 years ago, when I was coming down a very big mountain in Alaska, something inside of me was changing that caused me to act. And as I flew home from that mountain expedition, I was grateful for the guides that led me up these treacherous mountains. But what I loved about my guides, Yitzhak, they were calm under the weight of storms, terrible weather, high elevation. We were exhausted. Going home, I said, all right, this is my time. I so admire what they did for me and a bunch of people like me, who everything they could to get us to the top and to the bottom of that mountain. I said, from now on, I am going to dedicate my life in the service of others. I am going to teach people the thing that I wish somebody taught me. I couldn't think of a higher honor. Now, there were a couple other considerations that led me to that moment that I talk about in my book, In a Climb to the Top. But the journey, Yitzhak, I can say, was unexpected. It was exciting. It was unknown. So I'm heightening contrast here. There okay. were all these ups and downs. Yeah. But the most important part, I can't think of anything more fulfilling, because I know one day when I'm called to, hey, Chuck, what'd you do with your life? Short of raising my children, nothing has been more fulfilling than teaching my college students, than helping people to do what it is I learned how to do. And that journey led me to a very wonderful place that brings me here to this table, into your studio.
Wow. How do I get to my next question after that? Whew. By the way, let's just even just jolt forward. What's the name of the upcoming title? And is it available now at pre-release?
Right. For context, my first book is A Climb to the Top. It was published in 2016, and I was here in this studio.
That's right.
With Yitzhak as we were discussing the book. The second book is The Emotional Companion to A Climb to the Top. And A Climb to the Top uses mountaineering as a metaphor for how to climb careers, but the toolkit is not ice axes and crampons. It's communication techniques, just as you and I are doing right now. The second book, it was in my heart over the last couple of years, since my personal brand, public speaking and emotional intelligence. Since I wrote the book on public speaking, I felt there was a void. What can I give to my clients, to my students, that addresses the emotional component of how we communicate to each other? The book is called The Moment That Defines Your Life, Integrating Emotional Intelligence and Stoicism When Your Career, Family, and life are on the line. It will be available on February 6th, 2020.
Wait, we got to wait till then?
Unfortunately, we do.
I thought it's available for pre-release.
Indeed. In fact, that's what I was going to say.
Phew.
Yeah. Woo. While the book will be launched on February
6th,
2024, anybody can go into Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, the online bookstores, Thrift Books, whatever that may be, and they can order the book. So it is available right now. Go into Amazon, or available for order. Go into your bookstore, wherever that may be. Type in Chuck Garcia. The moment that defines your life, you can order that book too.
Amazing. Amazing. And again, online, what is the address where people can go to pre-order the book?
You can go to Amazon.com and you can simply type in either Chuck Garcia or the title of the book, The Moment That Defines Your Life. If you type in Chuck Garcia, you'll see two books. A Climb to the Top and The Moment That Defines Your Life, or Barnes & Noble or any online store.
Now, talking about the upcoming book, it's about perception and how it dictates a person's life. Can you please explain how perception of a situation, especially in times of challenge, can make or break a person?
Think about Yitzhak the way we were brought up in school. And I say this with all due respect. What school did, it awarded you or rewarded you for getting things right. And it punished you, so to speak, for getting things wrong. So if you got 92% of that exam right, congratulations. However, what do I know? What I did after that exam was done, I forgot 95% of whatever it is I was studying for because I was on to the next test. What school didn't teach me, which is why I wrote the book and why I do what I do, there was something missing in what happens when you face an adversity, when you face a struggle and a challenge. There's nothing in that exam model that helps me to confront it, to face it, to overcome it. No tools, none. So we wing it. And what I found is as I was training people to speak, or as I was hearing their stories, there was a common thread among all of them. And it was, they didn't learn the tools, they never knew the tools. How do I operate and how do I approach that situation? Well, if you spend your time approaching the situation and your mind is chaotic and you feel that you are focusing on the problem and you're not focusing on the solution, or you're so busy trying to fill your mind, because that's how we were taught,
right.
What happens if in that moment of adversity, you take a moment to clear your mind? Because what we know is every machine that we touch, when in doubt, we hit a reset button. But as human beings, Yitzhak, who teaches us to reset? To stay calm, to count to three in our head. And if we haven't calmed down by then, keep counting. Sooner or later, if you just stop all of your action and all that needless energy that is burned on the problem, what if we could flip it? What if instead of putting all that energy into the struggle, what if we could put that energy into the fix, into the resolution? But we don't. Nobody taught us that. Some people, I think, are naturally better than others when it comes to that. But some people are naturally better at playing the violin.
Right.
So the perception is, and this is the birth of the book, came through from certainly what I teach in emotional intelligence, being aware of the situation. But the next part that I included in the book was a philosophy that I didn't understand in college. When people talked about this thing called stoicism, I misunderstood it, or misread it, I misperceived it. I was like, what is this thing? And I thought when I started to hear about this thing called stoicism, it is you're unfeeling. But it's not that. It's you may become unfeeling in the context that requires your mind to slow down and to look at the situation almost as if you were a consultant, or if I came to you for advice, what would you say? What would you do? But we don't do that. Our minds are so cluttered with the avalanche of all of the information, the solutions, the 64 brands of toothpaste you could buy, the hundreds of choices you have for bottled water. How are we supposed to get through a day when our minds are so exhausted? What do we do? every time I learned and I helped people, and I learned this from the mountains, what happens when it begins to rain? You could complain about the rain, but that's not going to solve your problem. And we think about even the weather, which everyone talks about. And what we know is when somebody walks into a meeting, we know they bring the weather with them. You know they're partly cloudy, they're pouring rain, they're in a blizzard. You know it. You see it, you hear it. But instead of focusing on the weather, the survivalist doesn't. The survivalist figures out, I need a roof, I need food, I need water. That's it. Three things. Shelter, food, and water. So instead of thinking about, oh my God, what am I going to do? Calm the mind. First thing, go for shelter. Don't even think about anything else. In fact, you're not thinking about the blizzard, because that blizzard doesn't care about you. But I care about resolving it. So my call to action for someone to read this book is, regretfully, we were not taught self-awareness. We were not taught not how to be stoic, but why that is a tool that actually matters when we face the adversity. So if there's someone listening who never had a problem in your life and you never faced adversity, maybe that's not relevant. I know there's 8 billion people on the planet. I don't know how many I know, but everybody I know has been served something unexpected. And what did they do? Were they equipped? Were they certainly not prepared? They were sometimes ill-prepared. And the book was written to help everyone understand. We are with you. We recognize you have a situation or a problem. There is a toolkit. And in the moment that defines your life, I describe through each chapter, narrating powerful stories from people who were in their struggle. What can we learn from them as it relates to the tools of emotional intelligence we refer to as EQ? It can be measured, so it's a quotient. Think about one way. Now, add to that the philosophy of stoicism, clearing the mind. Everybody take a moment to think about how we learn. We learn by filling the mind. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's a wonderful privilege we have to learn these things from the people that teach us. But in retrospect, when I think about my education, I wish somebody had taught me to clear the mind. And when you look at the great athletes, they're all equally skilled. Why does one do better than the other? It's the mindset. They clear their mind at the line of scrimmage on a football game. The soccer player that has to kick the penalty kick, there isn't anyone in that stadium that doesn't understand this guy's capable, the woman, whoever's kicking the ball, is capable of firing that ball into the goal. They have the feet, they have the skills. Does the mind catch up? And do you clear the mind so that that goalie does not exist? You are going to put that ball in the top right-hand corner of the goal. There's nothing you can do in that moment that's going to improve your skill set. But there's a lot you can do that's going to prepare the mindset, because the mindset drives the ability to kick that ball into the net. We have not been taught that, and that is my mission.
By the way, I mean, audience is not going to be too happy. I'm going to go to a commercial break, because they're like, let him talk. But just among the accolades, something that resonated with me way back when John McLaughlin got us in touch. How many professors out there, I'm not knocking anyone, do you know, take their students to the top of a mountain? It's not just talk. Like I'm honored to write about Chuck. He talks the talk and climbs the climb. We're going to take a short commercial break. Before I do, to find out more information about Chuck, is the easiest way chuckgarcia.com?
Indeed. Go to chuckgarcia.com. There's a contact tab. You can do that. There's also, you can contact me if you want to reach out on my email. It's the name of my company is Climb Leadership, chuck@climbleadership.com.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets, terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftis right here on 710 WOR and joined by a very special individual, someone who walks the walk and climbs the climb, Chuck Garcia. He is a member of the faculty at Columbia University. He runs a very successful organization called Climb Leadership International, and he coaches executives from, we're not allowed to say because, you know, it's confidential, but executives and many different types of settings, from perhaps a company of one to a company of many. And his first book, A Climb to the Top, is an Amazon best-selling book. And his upcoming book, which you can buy on Amazon now, pre-order, and I imagine that the pre-order, that it gives them the ability that when that book comes out, they're getting it first.
It even tells you that. It says there. So you go to Amazon.com, you type in either Chuck Garcia or The Moment That Defines Your Life. It'll come right up.
Now, emotional intelligence. Chuck, you talk about it in your first book. Mm-hmm. There was an article in Time magazine back in the late 90s. And that hit you like a ton of bricks.
It did. And I remember, Yitzhak, as I was thinking about, I was in the midst of my career ascension, and I was speaking on stage a lot. And I remember I had a speaking engagement in Tokyo. And I go to Tokyo, and I get in front of this large Japanese audience, and the lights go down, and I had it all ready to go. Whatever it is I delivered in New York only a week before, by golly, I'm going to deliver the same thing in Tokyo. And I deliver in Tokyo, and I sense as I'm speaking to my Japanese audience, they're not looking at me, they're not listening. And from there, I said, "What?" I didn't know what was happening, but what I knew in the moment of stepping on that stage, I can't do to this audience what I did to my New York audience. It hit me like a lightning bolt because I was looking into the barrel of the eyes of an audience that seemed, they weren't paying one lick of attention to me. Why was that? It was a moment that was startling for me because what I forgot to do was to adjust my style. I didn't know my audience. Because 3 days later, I delivered the exact same speech to a Singapore audience that loved the style. The culture appreciated my style. The Japanese doesn't. But I state that because it wrangled me emotionally when I was on that stage. And I felt when it was done, and I couldn't wait to finish this thing because this is a colossal failure. I need to get off of this stage. But it was the best teacher I ever had. It taught me, but it wasn't the teacher of the mind. It was what I felt in that moment that I was disappointing people that were spending an hour with me. And it's, I don't think they were disappointed in what I said. They just didn't like the way I said it. I was very animated. And it's not that they didn't appreciate the animation. It's just they weren't accustomed. I wasn't their style.
Now, wait, there was a translator or you?
There was. There were two simultaneous translators. And so people were keying into me. They were listening to me, most of them on with the headphones. So they were getting it all in Japanese. But I spoke too fast. I was moving too much. I was doing the things that they didn't connect to them. But Yitzhak, what was born out of there, I'll never forget how I felt in that. And there was nothing in my mind that could have done it differently. It was my heart that was aching. It was a heartbreaker. I said, oh my God, I have disappointed 300 people. How could I do that? But where did it hit me? It hit me emotionally. And that's just one example. There were bigger problems to solve than Chuck Garcia talking to a Japanese audience. But to me at that moment, that was important. I blew it. I screwed it up. I said, what do I do? That emotional moment, Yitzhak, professionally became my best teacher. It taught me, one, I was unprepared and ill-equipped because I didn't know my audience. I should have taken the time to understand how do I get in front of that audience. But I say that because as through that, I said, where do I learn how to deal with this emotion? Now, I'll say all that because I was married with children. And when you are married with children, emotions go. Everybody knows that. So I wasn't thinking about this solely for my profession. I was thinking about this. Could I learn how to manage my emotions that would cross over not just at work, but at home? Because I was too bifurcated in my mind to think that at work I'm one way and I'm home I'm another way. That's ridiculous. That's not scalable. We should learn something once and it should apply to every situation. So throughout the course of the 90s, this social science called emotional intelligence was sparked by a book called Emotional Intelligence, Why EQ is More Important Than IQ, written by a Harvard guy named Daniel Goleman. And I read it and I said, oh my God, why don't I know this? And what he talked about is the four models of emotional intelligence. So think about in your mind the four things that make us who we are. Number one, self-awareness. Am I aware of the impact I had on that Japanese crowd? I wasn't until it hit me. Second, social awareness. That's reading the room. That's knowing where you stand and not only aware of myself, am I aware of the audience? I was not. I had no social awareness. I blew it. I was talking to a wall instead of adjusting and speaking in a way that I thought would connect with them. So self-awareness, social awareness. The next two, relationship management and self-management. So think about now what we have gone to in this model, the act and the implication. If I'm not self-aware, what implication does that have toward the ability for other people to want to be in my gravity?
It's zero.
Zero. Yeah. I never learned that in school. Right. We continue to memorize, cram, exam, regurgitate. But here I am. Now, somebody is reacting to me, and I don't know how to react. So as I was reading about EQ, Yitzhak said, oh, this is... And then I started asking my friends, you guys know what it is? What are you talking about?
Right.
IQ. That's what Q? What other Q could there possibly do to be successful? I said, oh, there's a gap. So as I was reading it, I was becoming the things that I was reading. And I didn't know whether it was right or wrong because nobody taught me. Just like with public speaking, I had to just test it and try it. But what it taught me to clear the mind, that when I'm in a situation, instead of getting all riled up and reacting, a simple technique, and it's called stop talking, start counting. Now, we got radio here, so I don't want to pause too long, but think about every situation you're in now. Anyone who's listening, rewind the tape to a discussion you had with your boss, your spouse, whoever that may be. What did you likely do? You talk too much. You talk too fast. You responded too quickly in the reaction to the thing that you heard that you didn't like. Instead, and this was a learned behavior. I had no idea.
Right.
I just kept fighting back. Clear the mind. You're hearing what someone is saying to you and you don't like it. Here's the interesting part. It is much harder to stop the momentum of a behavior you've been doing all your life than to learn a new one. So what I had to learn, Yitzhak, how am I going to teach this? The first thing I had to do was create the awareness that part of learning to be emotional intelligence is stopping certain behaviors. No different than habits. How do you stop a habit? It's hard. But now we're talking about emotional habits because it has implications on your career.
Right.
It has implications in your marriage and your relationship. So I wanted to bring EQ to life in the moment in a way that someone had not written about it quite that way before. I wanted it to be a fresh, innovative way. And I wanted to blend in because I didn't give enough appreciation for the philosophy of Stoicism, for clearing the mind, and how the juxtaposition of the tools you learn in emotional intelligence and how your mind calms down and perceives a situation that you step out of it and you give thought to what is happening in this moment. And instead of me being a jerk and talking and screaming, calm down, take a step back. This is hard to do, and it seems so simple. So that's where EQ Yitzhak started to make it into the body of what I could do in the service of helping somebody to become a better communicator.
Now, Chuck, you, as we said, you talk the talk, you climb the climb. You've climbed Kilimanjaro. Climbed other mountains. Taken teams along.
I have many.
And what you clearly are espousing is learn from life. Learn from life. Could you please, you touched on it, but we have to hold on to this for another minute or two. The concept of self-arrest in times of an emergency.
Yeah.
You've actually experienced it in a personal conversation you shared with me. Can you actually just, I guess in a concise way, share this story, because that had an impact on your life.
No doubt. In fact, what I'm about to say.
You're alive.
Thank God. What I'm about to say is a metaphor for how we leave our lives. I was climbing on a mountain with a team in the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. And the tallest peak in Europe, what is geographically Europe, is called Mount Elbrus. And it is on the border of the country Georgia and southern Russia. It took us about 10 days to get to the top of the mountain. And we got up there and we were exhausted. I was exhausted. I was like, oh my God, I'm wiped out. 18,500 foot elevation. Everybody high-fived, hugged. It was really cool. There was a Japanese and Norwegian team on the team with us, and you hear all these languages, and it was really fun. So we start our descent. And one thing I'll say about mountain climbing, and this is a little foreshadowing here, 80% of accidents in mountaineering happen on the downhill. We were now descending, and we were at an elevation of around 17,000 feet. Now, when you climb big glacial mountains, you climb as a team, you are typically clipped to them through. You have a rope and a harness on you, and you have these series of tools called carabiners that you clip in, and you are now with other people. And if one falls, everybody falls. We had unclipped at a certain point. We felt that we were in a pretty safe place. We could unclip. Everybody was drinking water, and we began to proceed down the mountain unclipped. My crampon, the very things at the bottom of the boot that help us to grip into the snow and ice, hit an exposed piece of granite. As that happened, I slipped, and I was on a ridge. I slipped, and I fell off the side of the mountain, 17,000 feet above. I started falling. I immediately adjusted, so I was falling feet first. I am flying down this mountain. I have two crampons on my boots, and I have an ice axe in my right hand. As I'm descending the mountain, in my mind, I felt like it was out of some cartoon. I was looking at myself in slow motion, going down rapidly. What I did was what Mike Bloomberg taught me years ago. When you are in a bad situation, do what you were trained to do. And mountaineers, we learn something called self-arrest. This is a metaphor for life. When you're in danger, stop talking. What I had to do when I was in that danger falling off the mountain, I took my right hand with my ice axe, I smashed it into the mountain. I took my two crampons on my feet, I smashed them in the mountain. It's called self-arrest. Fortunately, I was now self-arrested, but I was clinging onto the mountain the way a cat clings onto the wall, wondering, how did I get here? I hear from the top, and there were 11 people on our team. I hear somebody scream down, Chuck, are you okay? I was within an earshot. And I scream back, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It took about 3 minutes, but what I saw above is somebody coming down. They said, Chuck, we're coming to get you. And I knew they would. Next thing I know, my guide, his name is Mark Ripperger. Mark comes down to me just slowly descending, but very efficiently. He looks at me right in the eye. He takes a carabiner. He clips into me. I'm clipped into him. He is now belayed, which means he is clipped into the 11 people above on a rope. We are all tied together. I was in such a panic at the time, and I was about to rush up to get back up to the mountain. And Mark said to me at the time, he said, Chuck, hold on. He looked right in my eyes. He said, take a breath. Look around. Look at the sun. Look at the sky. Think about all the people who love you. Think about the people you have loved. Look how blessed we are to be here. And I couldn't believe he said that. I said, oh my God, I fell off a mountain and he's talking about who I love? This guy. And then at some point, as Mark calmed me down, he put my mind, he used the stoicism training so that I could put my mind in a peaceful place because I was safe. Then he said, Chuck, climbing, which is the protocol. And I said, climb on. Mark began. I got up. But Yitzhak, when I think about that moment, that was the most emotionally intelligent leadership moment I have ever seen. You can't read about it in a book. You can't. You could watch it on Ted Lasso, which I'm a big fan of, which does talk about emotional intelligence. But Yitzhak, I have fallen off mountains, but it's because of the wonderful guides that helped me. And they became my best teachers. And I said, I am going to bring this because we've all fallen off proverbial mountains. What do? Channel the moment.
Wow. Wow. Chuck, your new book, The Moment That Defines Your Life, how can people pre-order it?
Go to Amazon.com. You can type in one of two things. You could type in The Moment That Defines Your Life, the title of the book, or you could type in Chuck Garcia. If you type in Chuck Garcia, you see a couple books, but we are grateful for the opportunity to publish The Moment That Defines Your Life, Amazon.com.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Powerful people, famous names, impactful content.
Leaders who are able to engage their teams more effectively, who are demonstrating a level of understanding and empathy. It doesn't mean we're not going to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable for results. And at the same time, there's a great quote, which is, I don't care what you know until I know that you care.
The clip you just heard is from the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. For more fantastic business advice, follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
the idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godette.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
And we're back for the last segment of tonight's incredible show with Chuck Garcia. We're talking about emotional intelligence and his upcoming book, The Moment That Defines Your Life. It is available for pre-order at Amazon on Amazon. Just type in his name, Chuck Garcia. You can buy his previous book, A Climb to the Top. That's a great book. And his upcoming book you can pre-order on Amazon, The Moment That Defines Your Life. Chuck, thank you again for carving out of your crazy hectic schedule. You coach leaders around the world. You're part of the team at Columbia University, and you squeezed us in. Thank you. We appreciate that.
I am honored to be here, and thank you for having me.
Determination, adaptability, and collaboration. Three qualities for leadership, and really anyone climbing the corporate ladder. Can you please talk about those three critical life principles?
Yeah. In 2002, Yitzhak, I was sitting in my office one day and somebody sent me an invitation to this, to connect with him on something I never heard of called LinkedIn. I didn't know what it was. I accepted the invitation because I know the guy who's a friend of mine is like, all right, what? And then I call him. What the heck am I doing? And he told me what it is. Here we are 20 years later and everybody I know, my college students and everyone uses LinkedIn to some capacity. And every year, LinkedIn publishes two important lists, and this is really about job demand. And that what they publish is the words that appear on more job ads, the millions of people, the companies looking for talent, the talent looking for a company. What are the skills that employers are looking for? And they publish two lists. One of them is the hard skill, the science technology. It's what's the top? Artificial intelligence, blockchain technology, cloud computing, all those things. This is what the employers want. Okay. My realm is the other side of it. They call them the soft skills, but to me, they are not soft at all. We call them leadership competencies. And what I speak often, everyone in my world is on LinkedIn. And when I ask them, what does the world demand of you? Especially people asking for career advice. Oh, work harder, follow your passion, ridiculous. That's terrible advice. What is good advice? Reading the demand, as you do as a marketing company, you help your clients read the demand and act on it. Okay, so let's act on what LinkedIn is telling us. And this is data-driven. This is not subjective. And if you look at the LinkedIn top five soft skills, we'll give it the respect, soft skill list, it is remarkable what comes up on that list. Number one, this appears more than anyone else, and it's not just for the musicians and the artists, is creativity. Think about the engineer, the doctor, whoever you are, the need to be creative, bringing creative solutions to conventional problems. Number two, persuasion, right out of How to Win Friends and Influence People from Dale Carnegie, of which is my career Bible. Number three, collaboration. The companies are actually telling you how important it is to play on the team, that it's not about you. Your ability to make others better makes you more valuable. Number four, adaptability. And I am so happy to communicate number five, emotional intelligence finally made its way. So what you were describing on this question, Yitzhak, and you could call these words many things. Mm-hmm. The message here, as the world has changed, have we changed with it? Have we retooled and taught the skills that the employers continue to demand and that they update every year? These skills that I'm describing, they work in the office, they work on a mountain, they work in marriage. Think about if you could devote your studies now, and I'm not suggesting stop accounting and engineering and bio, that's important. That's your left brain. But every human being has two sides of the brain. Left is the logic and the analytical side. Right is creativity, collaboration, emotional intelligence. To me, the people that work with me, you are not and you will never be at full career capacity until you have found some equilibrium between your left and your right brain. Many of my students, left brain, get an A, be technically perfect, great, half capacity, until you have activated and developed creativity, persuasion, adaptability, all of those. So they have become critical, not just foundationally for someone starting a career. Here's the best part, because I train so many leaders. What do I train the leaders on? Duh! Creativity, persuasion, collaboration, adaptability, and emotional intelligence. So it's not only your entry point in your career, it's how to get to the top. Because for those, the common thread for many executives, they've been promoted on the strength of their technical competence. The job description has radically changed. They're unprepared and ill-equipped to execute on that because they haven't been skilled. They're winging it, but they've been pretty successful. So what the heck? And then they struggle. What I do is to help them as their job description has been redesigned. Most important part of your life, and you know it in marriage, you know it in partnership, is adjustments. Life is a continuous series of adjustments. The question is, what do we adjust? There's a million things you could adjust. My recommendation to every listener, adjust that list. Learn to develop it. Read the books. Go to classes. Take the seminars. Forget the cram exam and memorizing. That's your past, not your future.
Chuck, I know that you represent a, again, you're part of the faculty at Columbia. But you did share on a previous engagement that we had. What does Warren Buffett have on his wall? He's one smart guy.
He is one smart guy, and I will say proud, a very proud Columbia graduate. When he was asked for advice, and I remember when people were watching him, and they're like, right, Mr. Buffett, what's the one piece of advice you would give? And they break out their pen, and they're ready to write, and they're thinking, this is going to be a whopper. What he didn't say, you know, if you just follow your passion and chase your dreams, and if you work just a little bit harder, you too could be the next Bill Gates. He didn't. He took a very big pause, and he said, and he looked right down the barrel of the audience, improve your communication skills and increase your value in the marketplace by 50%. The engineers, Yitzhak, were stunned. What? That's what you're telling us? I want to know how to become a billionaire. Improve your communication. And he went right back to it. He said, because you had Dale Carnegie, the president of Dale Carnegie on your show, he talks about, on my wall, you will not see the University of Nebraska or Columbia University. On my wall, you will see the certificate to Dale Carnegie Institute. And he also said, I took a course in public speaking and it changed my life. Now, I love Warren Buffett, not just because he's worth $113 billion. He's a wonderful man and he gives great advice and it's honest and it's real and it's accessible. And it's not the same old if you just work just a little hard. Give me a break. Everybody works hard. But Yitzhak, are they working smart? Are we servicing our children and our students by just continuing the model, get a 99 and you'll be fine? Oh my God, the amount of people that show up with me with brilliant minds and say that I'm unhappy, I'm unfulfilled. Hey, I understand that and I feel your pain, but let's try to approach this a different way. Let's redefine not only what it means to be smart, what do you want from your life? Because if you just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you've always got. So we have to think differently. And I think Yitzhak, that's what I try to do every day. Try to help people to help themselves. And how do we do it? Every decision we make is driven from either the mind, the heart, or the intuition. One of the three. That can only be. Most of the important ones are driven from the heart. This is important. So what does a heart do? Go to the LinkedIn top 5 soft skills. You don't need me for that. You can do it. This is the advice I wish other people would give, but I know you do. You're very big at it, and others too. But we need to redefine what it means to be smart and what it means to be happy.
Chuck, we have around only 7 minutes left to the show. The time flies when I'm on the set with you. I had the same problem last time.
We have a high-class problem. Champagne problem.
Man, you have a book coming out in early February 2024. Mm-hmm. Yep. It can be pre-ordered now by going to Amazon. What do they need to do?
Amazon.com. You can type in one of two things. If you remember my name, Chuck Garcia, that's all you got to do. Or the name of the book is The Moment That Defines Your Life. Now, I refer to it as The Moment because it's very simple, but The Moment That Defines Your Life on Amazon.com, you will see it come up. You can pre-order it. It will be available and shipped to you on February 6th.
Now, Chuck, you are the consummate mensch. So are there any shout-outs you wish to share? Because, as you said, it takes a to build a village, to write a book, takes a tremendous team. Perhaps you want to share some thank yous.
I do, and thank you for giving me the airtime to do it. This was, writing The Moment was a mountain climb. And anyone who's ever climbed a mountain, you don't climb mountains alone. You don't climb careers alone. My agent on the book is a wonderful branding company that is behind me called Two Market Media. And I want to give a shout out to Steve Carlis, Aristia Rosenberg, Carly, Vela, Mike. You all know who you are. Thank you for everything you do for me. I am grateful.
Special.
The publisher, what they connected me with, and we had a deal really quickly because we knew we were on to something good, that something would be, and I've had years to test it. So I knew what I wanted to write about. I didn't know exactly where it would go, but when we went to the publishers, I want to give a shout out to Post Hill Press. They are the imprint on the book, and they've been wonderful to work with. The editors, they've been all great. The book will be distributed through Simon & Schuster. So in the publishing industry, there's a lot of different elements at work, but I want to give a shout out to all of them because they've just been incredibly special to me in getting this book to market, and for that I am grateful.
Chuck, in the last 4 or 5 minutes, let's talk about really what the book is all about.
Yeah.
How do people know what moment defines a life? In fact, during the conversation tonight, we talked about self-arrest. Find yourself, mindset. But how do they know what moment?
Yeah, that's the most compelling part, Yitzhak, because if we think about our lives, the one conclusion that I have found, not only in my own life, but in helping others, we overestimate the value of planning. I'm not saying it's bad to plan. It's good to have a plan. But what any general will tell you is the battle plan never survives the first shot. So let's get out of that metaphor. Let's just think about our lives. Yitzhak, what I feel we underestimate, and this is why I wrote the book, we underestimate two things. We underestimate the importance of self-correction. That's adapting when things do not go as planned. And we underestimate temperament. How do we behave in adversity? So what the book is really about, anyone who sits around and plans, I appreciate that. But I don't know much, but what I can guarantee, it's not going to go as planned. So how do you act and how do you react when the outcome is not what you expected? Right. So if it's not what you expected, what happens now? And this is what people notice. They don't notice your planning. They don't see your planning. They don't watch it. They don't know what you planned. But what they know is how you act and how you react. And what is the consequence of acting and reacting to somebody when you start blaming them that the plan didn't go? Is that what you're going for? You're not solving the problem. You're working it. You're exacerbating the problem when you start thinking about, oh my God, it didn't go as planned. Because nobody taught us how. Some, and I'll give credit to the athletes, they are taught that if you're a pitcher in baseball and there's a guy in second and third and there's, you know, you got the greatest hitter in the history coming up, they are taught that. They are taught how to pitch out of a jam. Why aren't we taught as children and as college students to pitch out of a jam? We're not. We just keep memorizing. That pitcher can't memorize it. He's about to face the greatest hitter in history. So how do we learn to deal with the moments when they come, and they will come? Here is the coolest part, Yitzhak. We can't predict it. But as human beings, people have been writing, the Greeks have been writing about this since thousands of years ago. You will have a moment. This could be a life-defining moment. How are you going to act and react when the moment comes to greet you? Your choice. The book is about being prepared for the thing you can't predict. Think about the enormity of that. Well, am I supposed to sit around and predict it? No, it's going to happen. 2 nights ago in the Hudson Valley, it was 8 inches of rain in 2 hours. Who could have predicted? That's a storm of a lifetime. Well, how do we act? They've been wonderful. FEMA's coming out. The policemen, the firemen, phenomenal reaction. They're trained to do it. We're not trained to react to the blizzard or to the flood. So the book is for anyone. If you're struggling, if you're facing a challenge, or let's just say everything is going great, what I hope you will do is get lost in the stories that the people that I wrote about, that I had the privilege of writing about in this book, that you will learn from them, that they will become your teachers, and that you can relate. You may not be going through the exact same thing, but you're going to be going through something similar. And when you do, are you ready? Think about that. Are you ready? Or are you ill-equipped and unprepared for the unpredictable? My assertion, get ready for what you can't predict. And when it happens, it's going to be just another day. No worries. You're going to get through it. Clear the mind. Stop filling it. Learn how to adapt to the thing you can't predict, because it will be here.
What an incredible show. Wow. And what a shame we're out of time. But before I go, Chuck, how can people pre-order the book, The Moment That Defines Your Life?
Go online. You can type in Amazon.com, as many people do. Whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you can also type in one of two things. Chuck Garcia, and you will see two of my books. Or you can type in The Moment That Defines Your Life. The book will come up. You can pre-order it. Hit the button. The book will be yours.
I'm going to be getting many requests about this show. So first of all, Michal ensures that by Monday morning, it is up on Spotify and all the other channels. That's the audio. The video is up in approximately 4 weeks, and you'll be able to watch this incredible episode of Mind Your Business. This wraps up. Oh, man, it went so fast. Wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the Voice of New York. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.